7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. How you doing? The other day, somebody said, do people, maybe they're new to the show, do they know what the Pyle means, what that even is? That's been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, it's been around for a long
time. It's you. It's the listeners. That's the Pyle.
Yep.
Which came from an episode of South Park, which I believe that was Curtis Biedelman, mm-hmm. who originally came up with that when he used to be Davis and Beadle.
Yep.
And you can hear the latest Davis and Beadle podcast, by the way, where you get your favorite podcasts, also at theteam1340.com.
Come on, guys. We're going back to the Pyle.
Yeah. I still feel a little bad that I didn't have it on my top five anime, because there was a time it would have easily been in there. Yeah. And the years have kind of made me go, not so sure anymore.
The years haven't been kind to South Park.
No. No, but I...
And don't look up that episode at work.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So if you really have to know, wait till you get home.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. So plenty to get to today. Busy Thursday. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, coming up. Colorado wrapping up the football season with a loss to Utah. Darren Cheverini gone. We'll talk about that. And Lincoln Riley now in the Pac-12 at USC. Also, we'll talk a little Buffs basketball. And we've got to talk about the thing that Mark posted today. The picture of a very...
This was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Today, yesterday. That Mark posted of a very young Mark Johnson.
Oh, sorry. Tuesday afternoon. My bad.
Okay. So a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Of a very young Mark Johnson.
Yeah. 1989.
Who looked like he could have been...
in 1989.
Yeah. Could have been fronting maybe...
Queensryche.
Warrant.
Skid Row.
Bang Tango.
Yeah. Faster Pussycat.
Pick your favorite hair metal band back in the day.
Yeah.
Mark looked like he would have been the front man of the band.
Or bass player. Right.
Yeah. Because Mark's a big guy.
Mark's a big dude.
So typically...
front man, you know, bass player.
Hetfield is the exception, right?
Yeah.
Hetfield is the rare exception of really big... big front
thick
front
dude,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, big guy. Big, strong guy. All those guys are really the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a lot to hold up that bass. So,
yeah.
Big, strong guy. But Mark looks like he would have been in a hair metal band, you know, straight out of, like I said, you know, mm-hmm. L.A., out there, the Viper Room, all that, you know, the whole hair metal scene back
he
in the late
like
80s.
He could go toe-to-toe with Axl / Duff, Matt Sorum, all those guys, hair-to-hair, not toe-to-toe, hair.
Doesn't look like he has hairspray, though.
No.
Because occasionally, remember, Axl would rock a little hairspray on occasion, not all the time.
He couldn't have a lot of pyro around Axl.
Yeah.
Because he'd catch on fire.
Occasionally, not all the time. That was more of a, you know, Bret Michaels, mm-hmm. Jamie Lane of Warrant, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
Bret, in particular, Bret Michaels. But, it doesn't look like there's, it doesn't look like there's, a flammable hair product that Mark is sporting. But we'll have to ask him those. Hey, did you Aquanet it up back in the day?
Because there's touching the shoulders, and then there's laying on the shoulders.
His is clearly
the latter.
Yeah, the picture of when we got married, mine is, it's like it's kind of laying on the shoulder a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. His is clearly out kicked my hair length back in the day.
Yeah, it's a lot of lettuce.
Because I got married because Mark's a couple of years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, kind of in that same generational era, if you will.
Got it. So MJ Buff's voice on Twitter, at MJ, and you can check it out. It's
a great picture, man.
Man, it can be called a mane at that point. There's a lot of lettuce there.
Oh, no doubt about it. So we'll talk with Mark Johnson coming up in a little bit. John Sedanich, Central Boys Coach. Warrior Challenge gets underway today out at Central High School. Coverage of the Valley teams tomorrow right here on the team at the Warrior Challenge. So we'll talk with John, also with Corey Hitchcock, the new boys basketball coach of Palisade. That's coming up today. Have our Broncos report with Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Broncos Radio Network. And we'll talk with Dave Fleming, CMU volleyball coach. They're in South Central Region play today at Metro State, taking on the University of Texas Tyler in the volleyball postseason. John Friedel, CMU men's soccer coach. They're also in the postseason today as well, as they get ready to take on Cal State Los Angeles tonight in Super Region 4. So we'll have that more, plus the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is all coming up today in one nice little three-hour package right here on the program. Of course, the way you can reach us if you have a thought, comment on anything today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, that is 970-242-1340. We do have a Qdoba question of the day today, brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill. Last night, I believe, 10 o'clock our time, the labor deal in Major League Baseball, boom, it's done.
Yep.
So the owners have immediately locked all the players out. Will we see Major League Baseball start on time? Pitchers and catchers reporting in February, spring training. Will the regular season start on time? Will we see a major disruption in Major League Baseball? I tend to say yes. It concerns me that very little movement has happened with knowing this was on the horizon, with very little communication between Tony Clark, Player Association, MLB, that there's been very little dialogue talked about, discussed publicly. Now, maybe there's been some things going on privately that we're not aware of, but it doesn't seem that way, right? It doesn't feel that way. Feels like that they're very much at a loggerhead, and we're going to have the same kind of battle we had in a year where they had 2020 and COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The field was wide open for them.
Yeah.
Nobody was doing anything. I mean, NASCAR had started back up, but as far as stick and ball sports, they had it to themselves pretty much.
Mm-hmm. For a good couple of months.
And really could have, you know, seized the opportunity to win back the hearts and minds of you know, fans that maybe had kind of drifted away from baseball over the years. Could have won some people back.
Yeah.
But what did they do? They spent the majority of their time, that window where they could have been it,
mm-hmm.
fighting and arguing about the parameters of what it would take to come back and what guys were going to get paid and so on and so on between both sides. And neither side was any less, you know, guilty or less guilty than the other side. Both shared equal blame in this deal, and they blew it. And so
baseball never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Exactly. To totally screw themselves over.
Yep.
And so here we are with, you know, now in a lockout. And so do you think it'll start on time? I just don't think that it's going to happen. You know, just some of the highlight deals in the last couple of days. Max Scherzer going to the New York Mets. I like what Scherzer said. He goes, we asked him about the, you know, about pitching in New York,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pressure of it. And he goes, I think it's a privilege. I like the bright lights. I'm Mad Max guy, not afraid to run away from it. You know, he's not afraid to embrace it, not going to run away from it. He's looks forward to speaking to the Dodgers.
Well, those people in Queens will love him.
They will adore him.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers, they re-signed Chris Taylor, super versatile guy for them. 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Red Sox make the trade, Hunter Renfroe to the Brewers for Jackie Bradley Jr. and
back
Rich Hill.
Boston.
So that deal comes to play. Padres right-hander Nick Martinez, they grant a 4-year deal. So those are some of the movements as far as leading up to the lockout now, mm-hmm. for Major League Baseball.
Rockies miss on Mark Melancon again.
Of course. Of course he's
going to the Diamondbacks. Yeah.
Come on. Really? Come on. Joe Schmidt, come on, man. Or Bill Schmidt, excuse me, Joe Schmidt. Bill Schmidt, come on, man. Come on. By the way, the lockout, first work stoppage in 26 years. Though we haven't actually...
That one went real well.
Yeah, went super well the last time.
Yeah, that was bad.
Every year that Rob Manfred is commissioner, He
makes me long for Bud Selig. Sometimes.
I was just gonna ready to say that. He makes me miss Bud Selig.
Which is saying something. Well, I guess the game's tied. Now let's put home field advantage in the World Series.
Yeah, why not? Sounds like a good idea.
And you want some clear coat with that? You know, it makes me miss Bud Selig. It does.
makes me miss Bud Lundegaard.
Yeah. And remember when Rod, it's like, oh my God, nobody can be worse than Bud Selig. Rob Manfred is hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Man.
Watch what I can do with this.
Yeah.
Manfred.
You think the last guy was inept. Watch.
You're going to be missing. You're going to be pining for that guy.
Yeah.
Manfred, by the way, before the World Series, said the league was intent on avoiding damage to the season in a CBA dispute. But this is a pretty drastic step, locking him out. It marks baseball's ninth work stoppage since 1972, but it's first since the players went on strike in 94-95. So they've had 26 years of relative, labor peace.
Mm-hmm.
But that peace is now over. That treaty between Major League Baseball and the players coming to an end last night. Do you think we'll see baseball start on time this season? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right, plenty to get to on the program this morning. And let's go ahead and dive into...
What's happening?
And leading off this story, which we had right before Thanksgiving, but there's a little more detail about it. And it just... Man. This is where I editorialize on what's happening. I'm going to give Tremaine Jackson, his coaching staff, his players, a ton of credit for the restraint that they showed when they went to South Dakota Mines and some of the garbage that their idiot fans said to them, using the N-word repeatedly, saying that guys weren't going to have jobs and stuff like that. Just ridiculous, awful, horrible, terrible language. Give them credit because Mavericks just went out there, won the game. They got on the bus and went back home. Where if they felt the need to throw down on somebody, I wouldn't have blamed them.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They were classy. Tremaine and his staff did a great job, along with those players, of conducting themselves and keeping their cool when, let's be honest, you wouldn't have, if they would have lost it, you might not have blamed. You would not have blamed
right.
them in that circumstance. But anyway, the Colorado Mesa football team endured racial slurs and taunts from South Dakota Mines fans during the Mavericks' November 13th win over the Hard Rockers. The Daily Sentinel reports that student assistant Megan Foster informed a South Dakota Mines administrator that fans were using racial slurs. Those fans were removed from the stadium and banned from all RMAC athletic events, including those at the Hard Rockers. Coach Tremaine Jackson, senior president John Marshall, and athletic director Brian Rooks conducted a conference call with RMAC Commissioner Chris Graham. The RMAC has issued a statement that condemned the incident, and an undisclosed monetary fine will be imposed on South Dakota Mines. And got the impression from the Sentinel article today from Brian Rooks that there might have been players, coaches that were saying some things as well. Nothing definitive about that. But like Brian said, they'll let South Dakota Mines deal with that internally. But certainly an ugly, ugly incident to end the football season and give the Maverick football team a lot of credit for how the class that they used to handle that situation. Avs superstar Nathan MacKinnon was back, but Maple Leaf star Austin Matthews stole the show with a hat trick in their 8-3 thrashing of Colorado last night in Toronto. MacKinnon played in his first game after missing the last eight due to a lower body injury. The Avs were without their top goalie, and Darcy Kuemper was out after sustaining an upper body injury in the pregame warmups. So backup Jonas Johansson got the start. He was terrible. I think you or I might have done a better job. I don't know. I just want to lay down in front of the goal.
A 40% Darcy Kuemper's better in that last night.
Ooh. It was ugly.
It was ugly.
He made 33 saves last night.
But the problem was they had 41
shots. That was the point I was going to get to.
That's great that he made 33 saves, but...
And he gave up eight goals. He gave up all eight goals last night. Colorado's Nazem Kadri scored two goals in his homecoming to Toronto, with Sammy Girard scoring the other. Avs play at Montreal tonight. The Orlando Magic rallied to beat the Nuggets 108-103 last night in Orlando. It was a rough night. Rough night for homecomings, because Kadri goes back to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon goes back to Orlando. Neither went well as the Nuggets fall last night 108-103. Denver led almost the entire game, only to see one of the worst teams in the league come back and hand the Nuggets their 11th loss of the season. Denver's now 10-11. Nuggets coach Michael Malone unhappy about the lack of defense.
We defended in the first quarter. After that, we didn't defend anyone. And the biggest thing that stands out continues to be our inability to defend the paint. They had 66 in our paint. Only 10 came in the first quarter. So through second, third, and fourth quarter, they had 56 in our paint. And they shot 64 from the field in those three quarters.
Cole Anthony's 24 points led the Magic, with the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic scoring 18 points and 15 rebounds. Denver's Aaron Gordon added 17 points and 8 rebounds in his return to Orlando. Nuggets play at the New York Knicks this Saturday, and the Team Sports Network will have it starting at 10:30 Saturday morning. So a brunch with the Nuggets coming up on Saturday. It'll be a matchup of one of the better offenses and defenses in the NFL Sunday night when the Broncos head to Kansas City to take on the AFC West leading Chiefs. Denver's ninth in total defense, with Kansas City second in total offense. Broncos coach Vic Fangio says KC coach Andy Reid's system makes them a tough matchup, along with all those playmakers.
And the guys running the offense are really, really fast. You add those ingredients and then put Mahomes in there. You know, they're running similar offense that they ran with Alex Smith was there, but, you know, Mahomes is Mahomes.
Denver looks to end their 11-game losing streak to the Chiefs. Kickoff Sunday night at 6:20 on the Team Sports Network. Tonight, it's Thursday Night Football. Dallas squares off against New Orleans, and we know that Taysom Hill will replace Trevor Siemian as a quarterback for the Saints tonight. Also, no Mike McCarthy out on the COVID protocol list, so Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, former Atlanta Falcons coach, will take over as the coach tonight. And that one, you can hear it on the team pregame at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we'll finally get to see maybe the Taysom Hill experiment for the first real time.
Paying him all this money.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes tonight when the Saints take on the Cowboys. Also, the Colorado Mesa volleyball team and the men's soccer team are in action today in D2 postseason play. The Mavs volleyball teams at Metro State to play the University of Texas Tyler in South Central regional action. That match begins at noon today. The CMU soccer team is in Los Angeles to face Cal State LA in Super Region 4 play. That match starts at 6 o'clock tonight. And there's the Warrior Challenge Boys basketball tournament that starts today at Central High School. Fertile Monument faces Horizon at 3:30, with Grand Junction against Glenwood Springs at 5, with Central taking on Castleview at 6:30. Palisade plays Centaurus at 8. The Team Sports Network will have coverage of tomorrow's games of the local teams, with Centaurus against Grand Junction at 3:30, with Castleview and Fruto Monument at 6:30, and then Palisade facing Central at 8 o'clock. And that's
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boy. So do you think the Major League Baseball season will start on time? The owners locking the players out last night after the collective bargaining agreement expired at 10 o'clock our time last night. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Coming up next, the voice of the Buffaloes, he of the sweet moulet back in the day, Mark Johnson, will join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Central Warriors basketball on The Team.
.722, Jim along with the Buckeye boy, Mark Johnson, Reuben Mark, to the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:35, because Mark is sleeping in because, well, we forgot the Buffs played UCLA last night. 73-61, UCLA takes down the Buffaloes. Of course, the Bruins, number 5 team in the nation. Buffs now 6-2. And Jabari Walker, big game for the Buffs last night with 22 points. Bruins are now 7-1. But we'll talk with Mark Johnson, and that sweet hair of Mark's coming up about 8:35 this morning. But with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, you heard the intro. We're going to talk a little Central Warriors basketball with boys head coach John Sedanich. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you? You hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Hear you just fine, John.
All right.
Of course, everything gets started today with the Warrior Challenge Boys basketball tournament. And I, like a lot of coaches, John, I'm sure you're thrilled that things are more back to normal here for 2021.
Well, yeah. It's been 2 years since we've done this, and just excited to see all the teams again and get going.
I mean, how much of a detriment has that been to not have the tournament? I mean, for a chance to open up the season at home with a variety of, you know, really good, you know, front range teams coming over and that kind of thing. And as you mentioned, it's been 2 years because of the pandemic. What kind of negative impact has that had on your program?
Well, I think, you know, we always feel like we're a little bit behind on the Western Slope you know, to begin with, and having such a short season last year, it does put you behind. It's you know, we don't get all the opportunities over here that they do on the Eastern Slope with all the clubs and all the gyms, and so you had to get creative, and we did a lot this off season to try to make up for it.
Talk to me how you addressed that. How did you try to make it up for during the off season outside of maybe the normal, you know, camps that you go to, things like that? How did you and the staff address that?
Well, we actually put together our own little club team back at spring break. We called ourselves the Midway Musketeers. Went to Denver 3 times, went to Utah once, and so we played. Oh, last spring we probably played 30 games, trying to make up for lost time. So,
well, you lose some really good players from last season, most notably Tristan Nostrand, who was your second leading scorer last year. But you have really good players returning. A guy that I was really impressed with his perimeter play, and that's Eric Max. He returns. You also have Braylon Scott back as well, at least returning scorers from last season's basketball team. Kind of take us through those two guys, and obviously they're going to take on a much larger leadership role this year with Nostrand and guys like him and Serrano graduating from that previous team.
Yeah, Eric and Braylon and Andrew, these are just really looking forward to this group. We've got of our 20 kids, we've got 11 sophomores in our program right now. We only have 2 seniors, so. Honestly, Jim, this is the next few years. Here's why I came back. We've got a really good group of young kids. I'm just looking forward to coaching them, and yeah, those guys are gonna have to take on different roles now, and I really believe they're up to it. So looking forward to it.
John Sedanich, Central Warriors basketball coach with us. As I mentioned, you lose a Serrano, you lose Alex to graduation, but you have Andrew back, part of that young group, and kind of take us through his development a little bit and some of the progress you've seen from him, and maybe a couple of other guys you feel like have made a lot of progress and will be even bigger contributors for your basketball team with maybe some of the work that they put in playing on that traveling team that you had during the summer.
Yeah, you know, Andrew is really our kind of our floor general. He's basically turned into me on, has made my life a lot easier just being able to run things and have a good idea of what we're doing. You know, we're totally different than we were last year. Last year we had, I think 3 6'5" kids, and we were really big, and this year we're totally opposite of that. So we're, you know, different style and make some adjustments. But yeah, he's done really well for us. You know, obviously Braylon and Eric, and then a couple other kids that Joe Thehill and Stone Troutline are going to come off the bench for us and give us some good sparks in different ways. And a couple of football kids, Santana Martinez and Cam Redding, just give us that toughness and competitiveness, and one other boy. I'm probably missing someone. I hate to say all my names, but my list is heavy. But Christian Miller is a kid that transferred to us last year. Looking forward to good things from him also as we get going.
Johnson,
I'm forgetting Tristan's brother, Rylan, and Rafe Carter. There we go. I got everybody in there.
Worked everybody in. That's good. Get all the guys on the roster into the conversation today.
Did I do it without? I don't even have it in front of me.
I think you're pretty good. Yeah, I think, Johnny, I think you're pretty much hit on everybody. John Sedanich, right, Central Warriors boys basketball coach with us on the Team Sports Network. And you mentioned, you know, losing some high, like Tristan Nostrand, for example. Who's a couple of guys you're looking to get on the glass and maybe, you know, even though they're maybe not the tallest you know, interior players or post players for you, John, but a couple of guys you can count on to get on the glass for you night in and night out.
Yeah, you know, Rafe and Rylan, a couple of our sophomore boys, they're a couple of our more, I would say, you know, we don't really have a traditional post player, but, you know, they're guys that aren't afraid to get down there and bang around. And Braylon is the same way, and honestly, one of our best rebounders is Stone. He He just seems to find the ball. It's crazy. He's one of our smaller guys, but he just always seems to be in the right.
John Sedanich, Central Warriors boys basketball coach with us on the Team Sports Network. The Warriors open up with Castleview. So you have Castleview tonight at 6:30. John, had a chance to get a little bit of a scouting report on Castleview?
Yeah, you know, they played Arapahoe on Tuesday. I was actually hoping to Arapahoe's coach today. I hadn't seen anything yet. But, yeah, I don't know a whole lot about them. I think they're pretty similar to we are. Honestly, focusing on getting ourselves ready. And, you know, we'll get to see, I think we play Palisade and Centaurus, so we'll get to see them and get, you know, better scouts on them as we go. But hoping to maybe get a little film on Castleview today and take a look at it before we start tonight. So not a whole lot for you on that one.
Warriors boys basketball coach John Sedanich with us, and you mentioned Palisade. Corey Hitchcock is now their new head coach after Clay Kame has moved away. But it's always that you know, even though you're not league rivals, there's that rivalry, that, you know, battle for the bragging rights of the East End of the Valley, John, that adds a little extra juice into an early season game.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun. Corey's a great coach. He's a great guy. I've enjoyed getting to know him, and they do a lot of similar things to what Clay did. Lots of pressure. They do, you know, they do extend full court. We got to see them. We actually held on Tuesday last week. We had a 16 programs at Central doing a scrimmage. So it was all their JVs and varsities, 32 teams from the Western Slope. So it was really cool. We got to see everybody on this side of the mountain and catch up with everybody. You know, they're going to pressure you. You got to handle the ball and don't turn it over. It'll be a long night.
Of course, we'll have the game tomorrow night, 8:00, right here on the Team Sports Network. Central taking on Palisade at the Warrior Challenge. It gets started today for a monument in action at 3:30 to open that up today out at Central High School. John, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for working your schedule around our situation today. But thanks and best of luck tonight. And of course, good luck throughout the weekend as well.
No, I look forward to seeing you guys, Jim. Thank you.
Likewise, take care. John Sedanich, head coach of the Central boys basketball team, joining us today. And Corey Hitchcock, Palisade coach, will join us coming up in just a few minutes.
It's going to be interesting because Santana Martinez, such a bulldozer as a linebacker and running back.
Such a physical guy.
It's going to be interesting to see him and Cam Redding both run around the basketball court. You know what I mean? They're going to be guys that are not going to be pushed around.
Well, last year, 3-11 overall, 1-7 in the Southwestern League. And, you know, they have to lose some really good talent and Tristan Nostrand to graduation. But feel like that, you know, Max is a heck of a shooter. He's a streaky guy. When he gets hot from the perimeter, Eric Max can be really, really lethal for that Central
Warriors.
There's a game
last year, I think you were doing it, I was in the studio, that I think he had like 9 points over the span of 7 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. You're right. When he gets hot, he can knock him down.
All right, so Corey Hitchcock, Palisade boys basketball coach, their new head coach, will join us coming up in just a few minutes. Jim along with the Buckeye boy today. And if you're listening for Mark Johnson, we forgot that Mark had the game with UCLA last night. Buffs, by the way, losing 73-61. And so Mark will join us around 8:35 this morning. Get a little extra sleep.
Got to rest that lettuce.
And, okay, what is his Twitter?
MJ Buffs. Voice. MJBUFFS.
Yeah, check out the sweet hair that Mark had back, what, 1989?
89.
Yeah, back in the day. Back in the golden era of hair metal. And boy, he rocked it back in the day.
There's
no doubt
someone
about it.
That has a comment on that thread on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
A voice that can break a mountain and a mullet?
Stop it.
That's great. Oh, that's glorious hair.
All right, 7:33. Jim along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The lockout began last night in Major League Baseball. Do you think MLB will start on time in 2022? Your thoughts on that today. Also, a bad night if you're a player for the Avalanche or Nuggets going back home to where your career started.
Are you a fan of watching these teams?
Yeah. Nazem Kadri goes back to Toronto.
Woof.
He scored 2 goals. He played well.
Yeah. Hey, that's great.
But Darcy Kuemper gets hurt in the warmups. Jonas Johansson comes in, gives up 8 goals last night. The Avalanche just gets smoked by a red-hot Toronto Maple Leafs team. Mm-hmm. And then the Nuggets go to Orlando. You know, they snap the losing streak. They get the win against Miami. Orlando, not a very good basketball team. I think, only 4 wins going into last night?
Yeah, and you score 34 points in the second quarter and then 40 in the second half.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not good.
Aaron Gordon making his return to Orlando last night. And he played well, kind of like Nazem Kadri. Played well. He had a double-double last night.
In the second half, he didn't.
Well, but he had a double-double.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he only had 17 points. He did not have a double-double, I don't believe.
I was going to say, no Wendy's for him then, apparently.
No. Double-double for the Joker. I think Gordon only had actually 9 rebounds. I think I'm going to double-check that. Yeah, 8 rebounds, I'm sorry. So no double-double for him. Double-double for Nicole last night.
Couple more rebounds, maybe they win that game. Just kidding, Aaron. Aaron's been all right.
Yeah, he's been okay. All right, 7:35, and let's go ahead and dip into sound check this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, Brian Kelly skirted away from Notre Dame in the middle of the morning earlier this week, and Dan Patrick had him on the show yesterday, and Dan, as always, asking the tough questions.
What happens to all your Notre Dame gear?
I was going to send some of it to you.
I'd like that.
But I've slimmed down a little, but you're so skinny, I don't know. You probably need a medium, right?
Well, I got Fritzy, and Fritzy, I'm sure, will be able to fit into.
He can take some of my XLs.
Yeah. Now, do you just leave everything? Did you take any Notre Dame gear?
We haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. This has been kind of a whirlwind kind of deal. We haven't really gotten a chance to even get back to the, the packing of my Dan Patrick trophy. I haven't got that packed yet.
Okay, were you building a house? What happens now? Were you building a house on campus?
I built it. Yeah, it's built. It's done. Oh, are you interested?
Does that go to Luke Fickell when he comes in?
If he opens up his pocketbook, I heard he's got to pay. You know, that Midwestern money, they got to spend.
Built a house on campus.
Jeez.
And then he's gone to LSU.
Oh.
Said he was out recruiting while his agent was negotiating. That's a little greasy, I guess. A little kind of slimeball-ish. You know?
But that's Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
So, for some clarification, apparently, remember the Robert Salah, Matt LaFleur? They were his GA assistants at Central Michigan, and there was a party at Brian Kelly's house. They showed up, and he had them shoveling snow. Mm-hmm. They were invited to a party at Kelly's house.
A party.
Yeah, when he was at that other CMU.
The wrong CMU,
back in 2004. Salah and LaFleur, they were instructed to shovel snow from his driveway and also be valets for his guests.
Well, that's totally different then.
So after that, Salah remembered that night in a 2019 feature about Matt LaFleur. We decided that we're in that position. We're never going to treat people the way we got treated. And the story made the rounds in recent days. But Salah wants everyone to know the story doesn't paint the full picture of Kelly as a person and as a boss. Salah thinks the story was taken out of context. It was supposed to be a funny tale about his time as a grad assistant. There's a rite of passage when you're a GA and a quality control coach. And it was a funny story, not an indictment of how Brian treated us. Brian is a phenomenal man. He really is. And that was just one of those deals. It was supposed to be a funny story that people took in a negative light. And maybe shame on me. I should have worded it better, but there's a reason why Matt went back and worked for him. There's a reason I tried to go back and work for him as well. He's a really good man and treats his people in the right way. Okay. Robert Salah, then why did you bring the story up then? Why did you talk about it then? Because it comes off as negative. It comes off as...
But that's not Robert Salah's fault. That's whoever reported its fault.
Well, then
if the reporter doesn't put the proper context around it, if Robert Salah's like, get this is really funny from when we were grad assistants. And if the reporter, he is able to do that. He's a reporter. He's a wordsmith. He can say, a lighthearted anecdote. It completely changes the tone.
But here's the part of it, though, that I'm not going to agree with you on that. where Robert Saleh, where he says Matt and I went back to our apartment and we decided we'd never treat anyone like that when we were, if we become head coaches. That takes the funny part out of it. That takes it as, it would have been, yeah, we showed up. We thought we were guests, but he put us to work. And, you know, that's just part of earning your dues as a GA. But that's not what he said. He said, we went back and talked about it. And we said we would never treat anybody like that when we were in charge. That's the problem I have with it. And that's what he said. It takes it out of being a funny story to, they thought was bullcrap that he asked them to do that. And I think they're right to feel that way. But Robert Saleh, don't beep, beep. Don't start backing up now. When you told the reporter, you said you would never treat anybody like that when you're in charge. That's the problem I have with it. If Robert Saleh didn't say that, then okay. But that's not what he's saying. So it was meant to be a funny story.
Yeah. And, I mean, still, it's a nothing burger. I don't really care.
Yeah, I just think it
trying to put a different spin on it. But, it doesn't.
I just think it speaks to Brian Kelly being a jerk. I just think he's a jerk guy.
That's maybe two or I don't know. I mean, I can't make that determination.
You see what I'm saying, though? If it's a funny story, then don't go back and say, we were determined we're never going to treat anybody like that.
Taking the other side, but I just really don't care.
It's a good try. It's a good try on your part.
Part of a segment, but
good try.
I can't get my hackles up over.
I know.
Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur having to shovel.
I know.
We're all interns. We're all assistants at some point.
You'd intern for me. Yeah. Did I ever ask you to come to my house and do something of a personal nature? It always involved work. I've never asked any intern that we've ever had here to do anything for me personally.
That's
wash my car.
Opportunity, I think.
No, it's just how you do it. You don't.
We got like three interns now and two dirty cars between us. So. I mean, it sounds like we have problems that can be fixed.
That's not what interns are for.
It's hours. It's intern hours.
Or just say to them back in the day, hey, look, I need some help here. Yeah. Can you guys come and, you know, once you get done, you can obviously hang out and blah, blah, blah.
In Brian Kelly's defense, if you say, hey, can you come to my house and shovel my driveway? I'm not going.
No.
If you say, hey, come to this party at my house, I'll show up.
But then that's deceptive, though. That's being an absolute even bigger turn.
He's a college football head coach. Deceptive is his middle name. He was recruiting while negotiating with another school.
And it didn't take this story for me to not like Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
I already didn't like him before. This just reinforces my...
The one where a person died is worse than this one.
It's not even... Yeah, this isn't... You're right. This is nothing compared to that. And that poor kid that died on the scaffolding filming a practice. I just think he's an absolute jerk. He'll probably be very successful at LSU.
And most football coaches kind of are.
Yeah, they kind of are. Brian Kelly kind of takes it to a different level, though. When somebody dies on your watch, that takes it to a different level.
Yeah, he's working his way into Nick Saban territory.
See, I don't even put him in Nick Saban territory. I mean, Saban's got unlikable things about him, but anybody ever died on Nick Saban's watch?
I don't know. He's so powerful. Maybe it's been covered up.
Wow.
Who knows? Who knows what sort of skeletons are in that closet?
Let's not go down the rabbit hole, okay? Too much of that been going on. Going down the rabbit hole.
Who knows?
7:43. Palisade Boys coach Corey Hitchcock coming up on the Jim Davis Show.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Get in the huddle with Palisade Bulldogs basketball on The Team.
Warrior Challenge Boys basketball tournament starts at Central tonight. First game of the season for the Palisade Bulldogs and the first game for their new head coach, Corey Hitchcock, who joins us right now. Corey, appreciate the time. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Corey. Doing well. So you take over the Palisade program after your time at Southwest in New Mexico, coaching the men's basketball program there. It's a return to the Western Slope, a place you've wanted to come back to for quite some time after your time at Glenwood Springs. So how's it gone the last few months, moving to back to the Western Slope, to the Valley, and taking over this Bulldogs program?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. I've been, truly excited about these guys and how hard they work and their commitment. And, I just Palisades a great school. We got great administration. We got great kids. So it's just been a joy to be back.
Corey Hitchcock, coach of the Palisade boys basketball team, with us. And Bulldogs went 10-5 last year, Corey, with Clay Kame as their coach. They went 8-3 and finished in third place in the Western Slope League, and ultimately made it to the postseason, but lost to Aurora Central 50-36 in the first round of the playoffs. But when you look at the squad that you have this year out at Palisade, that you know, you have some talented players coming back. Certainly among them is Donovan Mestis, who was last year a junior, averaging just under 10 points per game. So a guy that you're going to count on a lot to provide some leadership and scoring for this basketball team. But lost a lot of really talented seniors from last year, most notably Kenny Seriani, that led the way in double digits. But talk about this year's group of players that you have out of Palisade.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of guys that are going to have, you know, their first year on varsity and get a little taste of it. Obviously, with Donovan and Paul, you know, and Ryder, we got a couple guys that played a little bit of varsity last year, but, you know, we got some guys that are going to be kind of green and learning as they go, but I'm going to look at our seniors to kind of carry us and help lead the way and show the young guys how we're going to do it.
Well, Ryder Mancuso, of course, has been a very good baseball player for Palisade the last couple of years. You mentioned him getting an opportunity to be more of a leader. What are the expectations for a player like Ryder Mancuso, Corey?
Oh, man, you know, Ryder is the sky's the limit for him. He's just so athletic and just a physical specimen. And, I just love coaching him. He's what I call our glue guy. He's like the guy that will take the charges, that bangs around a little bit down low, get some rebounds. He'll do a little bit of everything for us, and I love his energy and just so coachable. And I think that, you know, for us, we need someone that's going to be able to be that bruiser down low and be willing to do a little bit of dirty work. But so our expectation for him is to kind of continue doing what he's doing and push the other guys and challenge the other guys to play physically tough. And with the style of defense that we play, it's important that these guys, you know, play physical and a little chip on their shoulder and are aggressive.
Bulldogs head coach Corey Hitchcock with us today on the Team Sports Network. Nick Campbell got to play some last year as a sophomore, now a junior, part of that long line of Campbells that have played out at Palisade High School. Talk about him a little bit and what you've seen from him in regard to leading up to the start of the season.
Yeah, Nick's, you know, he's come a long way since I got here. I'm really excited about him. I'm really excited about all our guys, but our junior class is our deep class right now, and, you know, they're going to really get their feet wet this year and get a lot of experience, which is going to be really good for us. But Nick, he plays tough defense. He can shoot it from the outside. We're trying to get him to, you know, open up his game a little bit more and be a little more aggressive attacking the hoop, and I think he has great vision, and he's one of our guys that, you know, I'm really leaning on to kind of step up and have a great year for us.
Palisade Bulldogs basketball coach Corey Hitchcock with us on the Team Sports Network. Of course, you took the job, in the spring, right around that period of time. The offseason, how did you approach that in terms of trying to develop some, you know, personal chemistry with your players, but also to try to get them to learn some of the new systems that you're trying to impart, Corey? How did that process work throughout the summer?
Obviously, we held open gym 3 days a week, and we did weights in the summertime, and then we went to camp. I thought it was important for us to kind of get away and do an overnight camp just to kind of do some bonding. As far as the X's and the O's, I wasn't really too worried about that this summer. We didn't really know what we were going to get coming into tryouts. So we have, I want to say, six new faces that made our varsity team that didn't play with us this summer. So, we just kind of really worked on, you know, terminology, you know, expectations, kind of, you know, continue to show them what hard work is and what it's going to take to really compete at a high level. And, you know, my biggest thing here is, you know, it's been a while since Palisades won a league championship. That's kind of what our goal is. And, we want to push these guys to go outside their comfort zone a little bit and chase something that hasn't been done here in a long time.
Palisade boys basketball coach Corey Hitchcock with us today on the Team Sports Network. So you open up the season with the Warrior Challenge tonight at Central, 8 o'clock. The late game when you take on Centaurus, they're off to a good start. They beat Frederick 64-57, and for them, John Lewicki led the way in that victory with 15 points. What have you heard about this Centaurus basketball team, Corey?
I mean, obviously they're tough. You know, they like to run and gun. They do a little bit of dribble drive. They're very active defensively. You know, obviously John's a heck of a basketball player. If you look at his stats, he was well-rounded that game. I think they beat a very good Frederick team that we got a chance to play this summer. So, you know, we know that's going to be a dogfight tonight. And, you know, they're one of the top teams in the state. They got votes for that top 10 this last week. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but I'm excited for the challenge. I've never wanted the easy preseason schedule. I don't think that benefits any of the programs that I've ever coached. So I'm excited to play a top-tier team right out the gate to kind of see where we're at.
Corey Hitchcock, coach of the Palisade boys basketball team with us. So once again, Bulldogs and Centaurus at Central at 8 o'clock tonight. And then it's the another late game for your basketball team on Friday night, Corey, where you take on the host Central Warriors, and it's – you know, not in the same league, but in terms of battling for the bragging rights of the east end of the valley, it's a game that gets a little extra tension because of the proximity and kids knowing each other the way they do.
Yeah, I've been told it's called the Battle of 32 Road. That's what I've been told. But you know, it's a cool experience for the kids. You know, I'm excited to kind of be in that kind of environment and you know, watch two great teams go at it. I know John's going to have his guys ready. Does a great job over there. We were fortunate enough to kind of scrimmage them in the fall and then go to their scrimmage last week. So he does a good job over there. So I think it's going to be a good battle. And I'm excited for our guys just to get an opportunity to compete and see where we're at.
Of course, we'll have that game tomorrow night right here on the Team Sports Network when Palisade scores off against Central. Corey, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you so much. Best of luck against Centaurus tonight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Likewise, take care. Corey Hitchcock, coach of the Palisade boys basketball team, with us in the program today. All right, 7:54. Jim along with the Buckeye boy. So do you think Major League Baseball will start on time? Because last night, the lockout began. First labor stoppage in 26 years as the CBA expired last night. Let's see. Got one from Die Hard today. The Salas story isn't even close to the worst thing Brian Kelly has done to a university student during inclement weather. Isn't the Salas story just a scene out of Coming to America? That's good. It's good, Die Hard. Die Hard brought his A game early today. Nicely done. So text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Jamie's got one. The Monforts were awfully confused this morning. They thought the lockout started weeks ago.